friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's marvelous grace, I am blessed to come to him in worship today, this Lord's Day, and to serve him in the preaching and teaching ministry of the Word. It is my great joy to meet with you too, dear radio listener. Friends, learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at missionafricajk.home.blog. We continue today to talk about the Levitical offerings, these types, that is, symbols and prefigurations of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessings and good that he brings to his people from the book of Leviticus. Our text is found in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock." Friends, let's pray. Thank you once again, Lord, for your precious word in which you meet with us, in which you reveal yourself to us, and by which you give us faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Thank you that you meet with us in the word when we hear your word, when we read your word. And thank you, Lord, that you have done for us that which is absolutely impossible for us to do. You have saved us from our sins. You have forgiven our sins, because nothing is impossible for you. And you have brought us from under the law, which condemned us, and into the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that though we continue to sin, we are not condemned, for we are under grace. We are in your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. Show us Christ once again as we see him in the types and the fulfillment, the antitypes. We bless you and we praise you. How wise you are to teach us as you do, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Friends, last Lord's Day we said of the burnt offering in which the animal sacrificed, the bull, the goat, the sheep, the ram, the lamb, or turtle doves, or young pigeons, was to be completely burned up on the brazen altar, except for the skin, which was the priest's portion. In this, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life fully and perfectly to accomplish the will of God, that is, to atone for the sins of God's people. We also saw in the grain or meal offering, which consisted of fine flour, frankincense, oil, and salt, an expression of gratitude to God for the atonement of one's sins. God received a handful of this sacrifice. The remainder was the priest's portion, and this was a cooked offering that was presented to God. Today, by God's grace, we want to begin at the peace offering. Leviticus shows us that the peace offering consisted of male and female bulls, lambs, and goats, and that God's portion, which was burnt on the brazen altar, was all of the fat of these animal sacrifices. The priest's portion, that which was to be given to the priest, to the Levites, was the heave offering of the shoulder and the wave offering of the breast. In this, the shoulder was heaved up, presented to the Lord, and the breast of the animal was taken up in the priest's hands and waved before the Lord. This offering is typical of Christ's death, and that he became our peace and the ground of communion with him. And the peace offering is found in Leviticus chapter 3. In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, we find it. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, as his offering, he shall offer bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. A Christian teacher shares with us that, unlike the other offerings, the peace offering was optional. It was a voluntary offering, and it was to be given in addition to the burnt offering, which was also a voluntary offering. The peace offering closed with a meal in which the priests representing God, the worshiper, and his or her friends are together. The sacrifices had to be eaten in 1 or 2 days. And there were 3 primary peace offerings. The first, a thanksgiving offering. This was a free will offering given as an act of thanksgiving to God when he blessed someone without their asking for it. Only in this instance could an imperfect animal be offered, Leviticus 7, verses 12 through 15. The wave offering, the priest's portion of the peace offering, was waved before the Lord as a special act of signifying that it was God's, Leviticus 7, verses 30 and 31. A votive offering, that is, a freewill offering given because of a vow taken or in relation to a favor or a simple voluntary act of worship, Leviticus 7, verses 16 and 17. And the peace offering is a type of the fellowship believers have with God through the work of the cross, in which Christ makes peace between sinners and God. In this, too, we see the peace that God's people, fellow worshipers, enjoy with one another. Here again, it was a male or female animal, and the blood and fat and kidneys were to be given to God. The breast and the right shoulder was for the priests and for the Levites. R.C. Sproul's ministry helps us to understand that the peace offering was also called the fellowship or the covenant offering. The Hebrew term used is related to the word shalom, which means peace or well-being. This sacrifice was unique in that the worshiper and his family could eat much of the meat, only a part being given to the priest or burned on the altar. It was a sacrifice brought when someone was seeking God's blessing or celebrating blessings received, even apparently blessings that were not asked for. It was offered to underline a solemn prayer, such as a vow, or when such a prayer was answered, or out of simple gratitude. Eating meat was a rare luxury in ancient times, and was usually something of a celebration. Moses prescribed that every animal killed for food must be offered in sacrifice first, Leviticus 17, verse 3. The animal could only be killed at the tabernacle, even for ordinary meals, to prevent sacrifices being made to idols. Later, this rule was relaxed for Israel. So at least during the wilderness period, every meal involving meat was preceded by a peace offering. And we see in Leviticus chapter 4, God's teaching about the sin offering. This consisted of a male or female of the herd or flock of turtle doves or young pigeons. And God's portion, which was to be burned on the brazen altar, was all the fat, blood at the bottom of the altar, and on the horns of the incense altar. I should mention at this point that the fat that was given in the peace offering and the sin offering was fat taken from the entrails of the animal and was a special offering which represented that this type of meat, this portion, was taken from the innermost part of the animal. And so the fat was a special sacrifice. The Israelites were commanded not to eat the fat, but the fat of the sacrifices were to be given to God. Also, the Israelites were told not to drink blood. The blood of the sacrifices was also to be given unto God. The fat and blood were sanctified to God. In Leviticus chapter 4, we see the sin offering. And the sin offering was to be made of either male or female animals of the herd or flock, or of turtle doves or young pigeons. And in the sin offering, God's portion, which was to be burned on the brazen altar for atonement, was all the fat of the entrails and the blood of the animal, which was to be poured out at the bottom of the altar. blood was also to be put upon the horns of the incense altar behind the veil. The priest's portion was the remainder of the animal. And in this, we see that on the cross, Jesus was made sin for us. Again, the sin offering. We find it in Leviticus chapter 6 in verses 24 through 30. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed. Before the Lord, it is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place it shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Everyone who touches its flesh must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which it was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy. But no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire." We see that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The sin offering prefigures that Jesus became sin for us on the cross, so that we are made the righteousness of God, we who believe in him. In the peace offering, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Colossians 1:20 says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself by Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And in the sin offering, we see that Christ was made sin for us. Glory to God. Atonement for our sin, covering for our sin from the anger of God is made for us in these offerings. In the sin offering, we see a picture of God's judgment of sin. And the sin offering is given for purification. And though it's often called the sin offering, a Christian writer helps us to understand, a better translation is purification offering. It dealt with two issues: the necessity of forgiveness from unintentional sins and of cleansing from ceremonial uncleanness, Leviticus 4, verses 2 through 3. The purpose of the sin offering was to cleanse the tabernacle from human defilement, thus making possible the continuing fellowship and presence of God among his people. In this, Christ is typified. Christ crucified, he is our guilt bearer. He became sin for us in this regard. And John tells us that as we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sin offering was given for purification, and we are purified through the precious blood of Christ as we confess our sins, believing in him, repenting of our sins. R.C. Sproul's ministry helps us to understand the sin offering with the words, "If a person sins," chapter 4, verse 2 of Leviticus, Moses introduces his instruction to the laity regarding the sin offering. While all sacrifices make atonement for sin to some extent, atonement is the dominant concern of the sin offering. Sin and uncleanness make a person unfit to be in God's presence, and also pollute the sanctuary, making it impossible for God to dwell there. The sin offering is designed to cope with this aspect of sin by purifying both the sinner and the sanctuary. The distinctive feature of the sin offering is the use to which the sacrificial blood is put. In other sacrifices, the animal's blood is splashed over the side of the altar, but in the case of the sin offering, it could be applied to the horned corners of the altar or sprinkled inside the tabernacle tent on the incense altar or veil, or even inside the most holy place. Because the tabernacle and its furniture were closely associated with the people who met God there, Hebrews 9, verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission, the people's sin defiled the tabernacle as well as themselves. Such pollution required cleansing. Glory to God, as Hebrews 9 tells us, it is the blood of Christ which cleanses us from our sins and cleanses our conscience so that we are clean and free, pure, to worship God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance. In the trespass offering, the last of the Levitical offerings, another type of Christ in which we see his sacrifice becoming answerable for sin and transgression against God and man, his atoning work, a male or female of the herd or flock, a turtle dove or pigeon, was to be given with 1/10 of an ephah of flour. All the fat of the sacrificial animal and its blood was to be poured out at the bottom of the altar and on the horns of the incense altar. Here again, the priest's offering is that which is not concerned with the fat or the blood. We find the trespass offering in Leviticus chapter 5. And in Leviticus 6, verses 1 through 7, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord, by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely, in any of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add 1/5 more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of those things that he may have done in which he trespasses." Also in Leviticus 7, verses 1 through 7, the word reads, "Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering, and its blood shall be sprinkled all around on the altar. And he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it." The trespass offering typifies Christ's payment for the damage of our sin, that is the trespass aspect. We have crossed a boundary in our sin against God, and we have not returned to God his due in our trespasses. The trespass, or the guilt reparation offering, a Christian teacher writes, is the guilt offering caused by the individual to look beyond the sin to the damage it caused, Leviticus 5, verse 16. The guilt offering is also called reparation because the person not only sought forgiveness, but first he or she also paid full restitution, adding to the price an additional percentage when this was appropriate. When restitution was necessary, this was to be made. R.C. Sproul's ministry writes, "While the focus of the sin offering was upon the purification of the sinner, the trespass offering was concerned with restitution or reparation. These three types of sins requiring trespass offerings are mentioned. 1, the misuse of the holy things of the Lord, that is, misuse sin regarding tithes, offerings, and property dedicated to God. 2. Supposed sins involving things forbidden. When a person suspected he had sinned but was not sure. And 3. A trespass against a neighbor. A trespass against a neighbor's rights and property. In the case of trespass against a neighbor's property, reparation or restitution was to be made. This type in which Christ crucified is seen to be given as a sacrifice for our sins and our transgressions, spoken of in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Glory to God. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So in the Levitical offerings, we see types, divine instructions and illustrations of truth, prefigurations and symbols which are meant to foreshadow, to represent or indicate something higher that is coming in the future, the antitype, the fulfillment. The Levitical offerings are ceremonies given to instruct us about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will make atonement for sins. The book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of animals cannot atone for our sin. These were given by God's commandment in the Levitical offerings as a teaching pointing to the fulfillment which comes to us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus alone forgives our sins. And the animal sacrifices in Leviticus were also made to cleanse one from moral impurity, again pointing to the blood of Christ, and from ceremonial impurity, that the sinner may be purified and able to continue in the presence of God, in the worship of God. But forgiveness only comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These five types of offerings result in atonement for the Old Testament believer. This was an obedience to God pointing to the coming Messiah who would save him from his sins. For us in the New Covenant, these point us to and illustrate and teach us about the glorious cross where the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us as an atonement for our sins. In the burnt offering, we see Christ's giving himself totally, fully. He died for us in offering himself for our sins to make atonement. In the grain and meal offering, we see the purity of Christ's sacrifice. He presented himself without sin. He never sinned. He is the bread of God, which if any man eats of, he will be saved from his sins. The peace offering shows us that Christ has brought us to be at peace with God through his sufferings and bloody death on the cross. And because we have peace with God, we then enjoy peace with one another in the body of Christ. The sin offering shows us that Christ was made sin for us. He bore our guilt. He removed our sin from us. And the trespass offering shows us that Christ made payment for the damages of our sins, that we might be fully reconciled to God. And this deals with the resulting harm and damage that comes from our sinfulness. Christ is seen in Leviticus in these five offerings. And we now look together by faith to the crucified Jesus Christ, to the crucified Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, there coming under the wrath of God, becoming a burnt offering for us, there purifying us, as he presents himself to God as a perfect sacrifice, without sin or blemish of any kind. There we see him making peace with us. By his stripes we are healed, we are justified. And there, Christ crucified, bleeding in agony, is made sin for us. Our sin was imputed to him. His righteousness is imputed to us. And God does the great thing that is impossible for man. God forgives men who believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who are bound to him in repentance. And there, the bloody sacrifice of God makes atonement for our transgressions, that we have stepped over God's bounds and gone against him, broken his law, and that we have not returned to him the righteousness that he requires and deserves from us. Jesus, our sacrifice, has made payment for our transgressions, our trespasses. And Jesus, by his marvelous grace, brings grace to us and deals with the harm and damage, working all things together for good to those who love God. Wonderfully, every aspect of our sinfulness is dealt with in the atonement, and we give him glory and praise and blessing. What a great and wonderful Savior he is. The Father was perfectly pleased with his offering of himself for our sins. Glory to God forever. Jesus saves us. Jesus crucified, Jesus bloodied on the tree, saves sinners. He saves all who believe in him and come to him through repentance. Do that today, dear friend. Glory to the Savior. Glory to God. He came to save, and he will save his people. Trust in him, and he will save you, dear friend. Glory to God forever. Friends, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for these pictures of the cross, of your sufferings, your bloody death and resurrection for us that we find in Leviticus. Thank you, Lord, that our sin, which is of such a great evil that there must be death for sin, was dealt with. You dealt with it, Lord Jesus Christ, in your sufferings and bloody death on the tree and your resurrection from the dead. And so we live. We are given spiritual life and forgiven through your most precious blood. Glory to you for your blood, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the atonement, that our sin is covered and we are safe from the awful wrath of God. Thank you, Lord. How glorious and wonderful you are. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise for the cross. It's in your name that we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.